Let me just break on over here to my opening monologue, The Right Side Way. Now, and I'll just, like many of you, I've got a view of things that comes from having lived through a few things. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a child of the Cold War era. I even entered the military during the Cold War. If you think about it, we're now decades removed from a time when kids were taught how to do nuclear bomb drills in school. Remember those? When the Soviet Union was the Great Bear of the East. When spy on spy was always communists versus capitalists. The Bay of Pigs, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the American U-2 pilot Francis Gary Powers being shot down. Sputnik. Finally, Reagan and Gorbachev. It was a different era. And there's an entire generation that has no frame of reference for it. And on the one hand, I'm glad. But on the other, well, I wonder if not having the boogeyman of the Soviet Union means that an entire generation may now embrace communistic ideals because they've never seen the devastation that communism can wreak on a society. Every nation that has tried communism has failed, even collapsed. The weight of communism is virtually unbearable. There's no way that anyone can feed everyone when no one has freedom. Personal incentive to succeed, to know that you can be rewarded for your efforts, that what you build is yours, that government is secondary to the will of the people, that personal liberty is more valuable than government action. Those are the hallmarks of a free and capitalistic society. But just the opposite is true of communism. Communism stands for the idea that the individual is subordinate to the collective, that the collective is represented by the central government, and therefore the central government must by necessity be the driving force in all decisions, to include what people do with their time and their energy and their resources. Communism tells its citizens they are considered communal, and therefore everything is shared. No one individual is to be able to succeed more than any other because that's contrary to a communist principle of distribution of wealth. Therefore, communism kills innovation. And personal liberty in communism is not allowed. In fact, it's even dangerous. Therefore, the state must decide who can do what and when and even with whom. Vladimir Lenin once said, quote, "It is true that liberty is precious, so precious that it must be carefully rationed." And yet, inexplicably, the Vice President of the United States of America just released her economic plan for the nation, and it is filled with the idealistic overreaches of communism. Like I said, I'm a child of the Cold War era. In 1979, my father, a career Army officer, was stationed in England. We got the opportunity to go over to the main continent of Europe. We did a whirlwind week where we slammed our way through Paris and Brussels and Frankfurt and Heidelberg. I mean, we saw so much so fast that I don't remember much of it, which is a shame. But there was one part of the trip that left an indelible mark on me. I still remember it very vividly. West Berlin. At the close of World War II, the Allied governments held the Potsdam Conference, and they split Germany up into four occupation zones for post-war actions. The Americans, the French, the British, they had their zones, and the Soviets had theirs. But Berlin was the capital city, so the city of Berlin itself was divided into four sectors. But the Soviets, they were intent on building their own communist bloc. And just 3 years after the war, the Soviets put West Berlin under siege, blocking off all rail and road access. Water, food, and fuel were all cut off. But the Allied nations of the U.S. and the U.K. responded with a massive airlift of food and fuel for nearly 2 years. The Berlin airlift was massive, like I said, and at its peak, it is said that a cargo plane landed at West Berlin's Tempelhof Airport like every 45 seconds, bringing relief to people who had just been at war with, we had just been at war with for 3 years, just prior to that. Capitalism and freedom prevailed. The Soviets had no other recourse. So 6 years after the end of the war, not able to compete with the Berlin airlift, the Soviets just began walling in what became known as West Berlin. 3.5 million East Germans fled to the West before the wall was completed. The East German economy suffered as engineers and technicians and doctors and lawyers and teachers and skilled workers all left before they were trapped. Ask yourself this. Ask yourself why no one escaped to East Germany. They only escaped from East Germany. The Berlin Wall was not built to keep the world out. It was built to keep the people in. All of the eastern section of Germany was eventually closed off from the Western world, but West Berlin, it was like a small island of capitalism in a sea of communism. West Berlin was democracy. East Berlin was communism. West Berlin developed an avant-garde art scene with artists and musicians, but East Berlin was oppressive. So in 1979, I went with my family to West Berlin. We rode by overnight train with sleeper cabins, which was an adventure in itself. I remember looking out the windows and seeing East German soldiers guarding buildings and towns we passed by. We made one stop somewhere along the way, and we were told in no uncertain terms that we could not disembark. Everything outside my window looked dreary. And then we arrived in West Berlin, and it was just full of life. There were restaurants and museums and churches and theaters and businesses and good roads and people out and about. And then we went to Checkpoint Charlie, one of the most famous border crossings in all the Cold War. It's been in countless spy novels and movies. The funny thing is, on the western side of Checkpoint Charlie, it was no big deal. There was a small guard shack and a cafe and a tourist viewing station. But on the eastern side, over in the communist side, there was like unparalleled security. Armed guards, cleared fields of fire, searchlights, minefields, not only the wall, but also a watchtower with zigzag barriers you had to drive through, a multi-lane shed where cars and their occupants were checked. Civilians were allowed nowhere near the checkpoint. But on the western side, as a 13-year-old tourist, I walked up the steps of a wooden viewing platform and I stood there looking across the wall at communism. And I'll never forget it. I could look to the east at communist East Berlin, and it was like looking at an old black and white movie. Everything was drab, everything made of blocky concrete, just shades of gray. And then I'd turn around and look behind me at West Berlin, and it was like I was looking at the Las Vegas Strip by comparison. West Berlin was lights and motion and color and contrast and life and activity and purpose. East Berlin was stifling to look at. West Berlin was like hope. Look, I don't want to live in the communist states of America, not for a second. I want to know that if I work hard and try to succeed for my family, that the state's not going to swoop in and steal my joy. Take what I've done, give it to someone else. Communism stifles joy. It crushes the human spirit and it abolishes benevolence. You're happy when the state tells you to be happy. You must think like the collective. And there's no reason to give unto others because the state's going to do it for you. So rather than thrive in communism, you just survive. You exist for the good of the state. And I want no part of that. In fact, I will resist that. Kamala Harris just announced the largest ever plan to redistribute wealth ever. In the history of the U.S., there has never been a bigger attempt to subvert the free market. She plans to fix prices, which means that quality will diminish and innovation will die off. She plans to build government housing at epic rates, and I've seen government housing before, no thank you. She plans to steal companies' hard-earned patents on new products if the state deems them necessary, thereby killing the free market. She plans to give away money, thereby disincentivizing hard work. She plans to crush the energy sector, control the schools, open the borders, and control the ability of Americans to ever travel. I mean, she might as well just build a wall and say she doesn't want to work on the border, but this time it needs to be to keep the people in, not to keep the people out. Communism kills. Seriously. And Kamala Harris apparently wants us to be the communist states of America. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, anybody who's been to Berlin back in the days before the wall came down, y'all, it was amazing. Looking across the way, you could see it. You could tell the difference. It was visible. I mean, it was right there. It was tangible. Gray and drab on the communist side. Full of life on the capitalist side. I'm telling you right now, we do not need to be the communist states of America. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.